Welcome to the Sorry I Offended You podcast. This is Brandon Marshall Havener bringing you the censorship episode part two. So in part one, is that what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to, you know, recap what happened in part one. But seriously, listen to part one first. Maybe. I don't want to have to tell you what to do. There's enough people trying to do that right now. But I recommend, it's highly recommended. There's a Spotify warning on this episode that you have to listen to part. See, Rebecca couldn't resist. She's looking at me and like, I was trying to give her facial signals. And then she just jumped in. She has to be heard on the podcast. So now I make sure you buy Marketing Miracle and go to the Content Queen on Instagram. Free promotion here. This podcast is sponsored by the Content Queen. All right. So anyway, it is morning time here. Here's what's happening. Rebecca is slowly getting up, and I've been up for like 2 hours, and I'm ready to fucking go. So we're in different phases of our day right now. But where was I? So, no, I do not want antivirus protection right now. Go away. So anyway, that's a problem with non-Mac computers. They just like, they're like, you know you're going to get the virus. Because Bill Gates, he's like, I'm in the business. I'm going to help you get viruses and I'm going to help take them away. You don't see that shit on the other computer. Like on my MacBook, you don't see that. But Bill Gates, he founded Windows. He found it somewhere. He discovered it. And he's like, looks like you got a virus problem. Well, I can help you with that. It's a little more complex than that. You know, I think it was McAfee virus that was warning me. And, you know, rest in peace to Mr. McAfee. For some reason, what's his first? I got to honor him now. Before we get into this, because that was a crazy story as well. What was his name? John McAfee. So John McAfee, he was actually saying, if you follow him, if you haven't seen his content, watch it and see the type of shit he was saying before what I think is that they suicided him. Anyway, let's draw this back to the censorship episode. Back to the censorship episode. On the first episode, I talked about Brene Brown and the Joe Rogan situation. Neil Young threatening to leave Spotify. So all that Spotify stuff. This episode, I want to expand on what's been going on with Brene Brown, Joe Rogan's response. So they've both said, came out of silence since then. Joe Rogan has responded. Brene Brown has responded to the criticism that she received for pausing her podcast. And I want to give a shout out to Ashley Beeman. She said on my comment section, well, you caught it. Her recent post is almost exactly what you said in your podcast at the beginning. You know, I'm going to confidently say that I knew it all this time. And I think it was good to just, you know, gradually walk into it and not make assumptions. You know, I think something that's good to do is always give the benefit of the doubt, speak your thoughts, and the truth will reveal itself. It's been these past 2 years has been inflating to my conspiracy ego. I will admit that. But I tried just to be a normal guy. I try to use my intuition with responsibility. And I try not to get too high on myself. Even with all the stuff coming, there's like a part of me that always wants to tell people like, I fucking told you. I told you about this. But then there's another side of me. It's like, no, you know, the bigger picture here is to be welcoming and loving Maybe you can give them a nudge and say you told them, but welcome people with open arms once they get it. Because there was a time where I first heard about some shit, and I thought the person telling me was crazy. You know, talking about like all the crazy shit that goes on in the music industry. I'm like, no, you're crazy, and you're like crushing my dreams or whatever. So anyway, let's regain focus here. And we're going to start with Brené Brown's response. So Ashley has stated that I caught it. Why does Ashley say that I caught it? The big statement that I made on the last episode, but you should have watched it. But the biggest statement that I said on the last episode was that she was testing the waters, you know, like not making a commitment and testing the waters, and then saying that it would be easy for that to be used as a, you know, a deflection. So what I'm saying here is that she posts testing the waters, people jump to the conclusion it's about Joe Rogan, and then she comes back and saying, I wasn't trying to censor Joe Rogan. No, I wasn't doing that, and you were mean to me. So that's why I state like not to jump into cancel culture behavior, which is some stuff that I'll get into with the Whoopi Goldberg situation. Not to jump into the cancel culture behavior or the mob mentality or the tribalistic nature of humanity, where we sort of lose a bit of our humanity behind the computer screen and saying crazy shit. Like, don't say shit that you would regret, and that you wouldn't say to somebody that you care about. Let me see if this is... I gotta do a recording check. Because I see... Okay, I'm recording. Thank God. Rebecca says I'm... She yelled, I'm recording and it's gold. By the way, make sure you go to RebeccaIves.com and purchase Marketing Miracle. Yeah, I know. She's got a website coming. Anyway, this is my podcast. But Rebecca is always welcome, of course. So anyway, basically what I said was going to happened. I'll explain. When I first saw Brené Brown's response, I kind of like skimmed over it, and I thought like, oh, you know, there must have been something else going on. And I don't know if she added, I don't think she added to the response. I think I was just skimming over it. And then I realized like, oh, wait. Because at first I was a little bit more neutral in my approach. But then again, the way that she framed it made it look very neutral when it isn't neutral. And let's dissect this. Let's dissect this response. So she posts, Brené says, we often joke about, quote, unlocking us and, quote, dare to lead being pausecast, not podcast. I have a habit of taking long pauses to think about a question or an answer. Last week, I took a bigger pause, and I'd like to walk you through it. On Saturday, January 29th, I posted across social media that I would not be releasing any podcast until further notice. I'd had hundreds of comments across social media asking my opinion on the Spotify and Joe Rogan issue, and I didn't know enough to comment. See, I think that point is clear. Who was questioning about the Joe Rogan thing? And what my take on it is the people questioning about it is people in the inner circle or her inner communities, like, hey, don't you see misinformation as a problem? Aren't you going to do something about it since you're part of Spotify? So that's what I take from it. And I also, you know, I'm also curious if like those didn't come out as demands or if they were so nice. Because, I mean, all I can go is by my experience and what I've seen go on in the internet, the tribalistic nature of wanting to censor other people or causing people to self-censor themselves, you know, self-censorship, and peer pressuring people to do things, it's usually in the form of bullying, disguised as quote-unquote accountability culture, but it's actually very cutthroat. So let's go into a different timeline and say, what if Brené Brown said, hey, fuck you. Maybe a little nicer. I'm not going to change Brené Brown's entire personality. But in her way of saying, hey, fuck you, this is my podcast, I don't have to answer, Joe Rogan doesn't have shit to do with me. What would the response to her be if she said that? Because it looks like they were turning up the heat on her to make a move, and she paused. And what is that? When she pauses, that's funny, I just paused. I was regaining my thought. I paused in the moment when I talked about her pausing. It's a freeze response. And what I see is, you know, it's flight, fight, or freeze. There's a, and now I do need Rebecca. Hold on. Rebecca, is a freeze response, is it compared to the fawn response? Are they both similar things? Yeah, come on, soapbox Rebecca.
Basically, like, imagine we're in the jungle and you
We're
in the jungle and there's a big, big, scary lion and you are a little gazelle.
Oh.
And basically, there's a couple different responses. The first response is the fight response, which we're all pretty familiar. It's like you get a surge of adrenaline and you're like, I'm going to fight this.
That's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, they're all trauma responses. They're not, like, ideal to work.
That's my trap, too. Like, I'll feel justified in fighting sometimes, and then I feel drained. Like,
yeah, exactly. You want to choose your fights. Yeah.
I think fighting can have its benefits.
For sure.
But I can't be like the kid I was in high school and start fights with every group of people and then watch my back every time I walk home.
It's not ideal.
Yeah. Okay, so.
All right. So then we have the flight response, which is literally you're going to, like, that gazelle is going to bust ass out of there and do its best to outright run the line.
Yeah.
So I talk about these in the context of marketing sometimes. So a flight response is when somebody just won't stop moving. There's a lot of perfectionism. There's a lot of just gotta go, 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 go. The freeze response is like, just like you're paralyzed. Like basically the gazelle is like surrendered to its fate, or like maybe if I play dead, like they won't eat me, or like it's that kind of thing. So it's like, and then the fawn response, which I don't know if that would really apply in the jungle analogy, but the fawn response is basically...
Yeah, you're not going to seduce a tiger.
Well, it's less seducing, but it's more like, let's say someone's being mean to you or something, and you're suddenly like, oh my God, of course, yes.
Yes.
Like, you try to like lessen the situation by like just adopting that.
Do you think the freeze and the fawn response comes in combinations with each other at times where it's like they freeze and like, I don't know what to say. And then it's like, okay, I'll just please people. I'll just please everyone.
Yeah. Or I'll just do this dance of perfectionism.
Yeah.
Which I would say is flight, because flight is very active.
Which
they're all connected.
I want to say this with Rebecca being on here. This is not like some type of thing where there's any issue towards Brené Brown, and you're not even in, like, to be completely honest.
Brené is a nice lady. I don't follow her that closely.
Yeah, she doesn't follow her. I don't even think you know what the fuck is going on.
I really loved The Gifts of Imperfection. I thought it was just and she had something about Brave. She has some great...
And something that someone told me, messaged me, and made a good point, and something that I've agreed with when it came to cancel culture, is that, you know, that doesn't mean you had to throw out all of her good work if you disagree with her on one thing.
Yeah, let's all just be nuanced thinkers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to... There's, like, very few humans alive that I agree with every single thing they think and say. You included, and me included.
Yeah.
Like, it's safe to just, like, be your own nuanced thinker.
Yeah.
And
Rebecca and I have good conversations over things because, like, she comes from it sometimes more of a heart-centered place, and I come to it from a thought, a thought process in the brain. And I think both is very useful. And I, You know, it's kind of like the whole patriarchy thing. It's like, what if we embrace patriarchal and matriarchal aspects, and we had leaders that were nurturing, but also very logical, that can be very logical as well, and point out where, you know, there is danger over here. Like, we can't take time to nurture right now. We gotta, like, you know, we gotta, like, strategize, or, like, we need to protect and things of that nature. So I think, you know, if we learn that both energies are impactful, I think, you know, we'd have a nice, thriving society.
It's kind of like, to be fit, you need flexibility and strength.
Yeah, yeah. Flexibility and strength. I need flexibility. All right. So, bye. Rebecca, I love you. I'm going to get back into this.
Okay.
Thank you for your contribution. Go to Rebecca. Buy Marketing Miracle. Love you too. By the way, I also do a lot in Rebecca's business as well. So it's kind of self-serving for me to promote her as well. Anyway, getting on to this. So to my knowledge, I feel like it was a bit of between freeze and a fawn response here. I think there is a little bit of trying to please every party, but the issue is, in this current environment, it's tough to do that. And I think having nuance, and I'm going to say similar things about the Joe Rogan response. The issue is when the foundations of freedom of speech and the Constitution and things of that nature, when that foundation is not respected, then you don't have a solid ground to be neutral. You don't have a solid ground to be nuanced. So that's the issue here. If we're not both playing by the same rules, if we're not both operating as individual liberty as being a value, that's when things clash, and that's when it makes it nearly impossible to actually please, quote unquote, both sides, even though there's many sides to this, there's many aspects to it. So, where was I? So on January 29th, she said she wouldn't release any podcast until further notice. I'd had hundreds of comments across social media. Okay, the Rogan issue, and I didn't know enough to comment. So basically, the heat was being turned up on her. And it sounds like it was from the side that wants censorship. And I want to say two things about censorship. One, censorship is fucking censorship. I think I was being actually kind of nice in my own way in the last episode for saying it's only about government. No, censorship is fucking censorship. Two, that doesn't fucking matter because the government is calling for censorship. Jen Psaki recently, and you can look it up, she was in support of Spotify being, quote unquote, regulated or censored or whatever. So the government does have its interest and wants to do things, and they will. There's like different ways this happens. They're calling for it. They're calling for their voters to vote it in. So what? It is censorship. What if you, if you're somebody who wants regulation and censorship and you voted in, are you going to say, well, it's not censorship because I voted for it, right? Like, where are we moving the line here? Anyway, I digress. Don't give censorship an inch because it will take a mile. And that's the lesson what I'm reading here. So she says, I didn't want to drop new podcasts without responding to the question. So I decided to hold my podcast and learn more because I had a podcast scheduled to release at 12:01 a.m. on January 31st and another on February 2nd. I thought it was important for weekly listeners to know that nothing would drop this week. You're not dropping a podcast because of Joe Rogan? What does he have to do with you? Like, even if people in your audience are saying that, like, and even if you had to think about your response, where's the fucking boundary between the audience? If this is truly not your fight, and you're truly not involved, and later says, spoiler alert in her message, but she said she's not trying to censor Joe Rogan, If you're not trying to censor Joe Rogan, why are you pausing your podcast? Why are you going? I got to read. I'm going to spoil everything that she says. But like, why are you involved? It doesn't make sense. If you're neutral, then why are you pausing? It doesn't make sense. Okay. I pause because as a creator with two podcasts, okay, she's telling us now, podcasts exclusively on Spotify, I want to better understand the organization's misinformation policy. Why? Because of the Joe Rogan thing? Like, you want to, what does that mean? That sounds very, it sounds very Karen. It sounds like a very Karen thing to do. Like, you know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of when I was a kid and I played for Little League Baseball. And I had this very nice bat that my dad bought me. And it had like this thick barrel. And it was just like, you know, it was just amazing to be in possession of this bat. I was grateful to have it. And it was great. You know, good times. I hit some home runs and having a good time, helping my team, my little league team win. Then a teammate, his name was Sam, I'll remember, a teammate goes up to the umpire and asks, hey, is this bat within regulations? Because I just wanted, like, he wanted permission before he used it. What the fuck? Like, the umpire didn't say nothing. Why are you saying something? What? And then the umpire had to pause the ability for us to use the bat because he was unsure if it was within regulation. Thanks. Like, what? That had nothing to do with you. Just don't, if you don't want to use a bat, don't use the bat. That was my bat. What the fuck? Like, why did you feel caught? Who taught you to do that? Stop it. I guess it's a little bit different, but it's kind of the same, I think. Maybe I just need to get that off my chest. So like, why are you going to Spotify? To me, this proves the people that were criticizing you right. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to Spotify over the Joe Rogan thing. So I wanted to talk to the Spotify leadership about their position, their policies, and the application of those policies. I met with them twice. Why are you meeting with them about their policies over a channel that's not fucking yours? What? Okay, I met with them twice last week and once again this week. I've listened, they've listened, and my assessment is that everyone is open and learning, and including me. It sounds nice when you write it like that. Like, we're open to learning, we had conversations, we listened, we understood each other. But really, you were dry snitching. Like, you were snitching. Like... But it looked so good in writing. But you were snitching. You snitched. Okay, so you are supporting censorship. Sadly, on social media, my post has turned into a shit show driven by unfounded accusations of censorship. You just proved their accusations are right, though. And that's what I was talking about. I was like, let's not jump the gun. Let's not make assumptions here, because this, and I, exactly what I said that was going to happen. I said that she could be testing the waters and then she's going to keep her hands clean and say, yo, I wasn't trying to censor nobody. I wasn't trying to censor nobody. And all these angry people just came at me. That's why I think it's good. I mean, this is one reason. Another reason is, like, you want to put good energy out in the world anyway, but it's always good to stay centered in your heart and don't jump to the conclusions, even if you're reading something to be like, yeah, I know what's going on. Because there you have it. I'm happy to jump now because I know, I see exactly what happened. And my part prediction that I thought could be the case is proved to be right. So comments like, I'm canceling you for canceling people. And I hate censors, so you shut up. And I'm burning your books because I don't agree with you. Would be ironic and funny if they didn't demonstrate a complete lack of critical thinking. So she took the worst comment she saw and used it to assassinate the characters of people on a particular side. and to make them look like the crazy unhinged people, even the people who wrote thoughtful comments. And look, I am against the tribalism. I'm against cancel culture on both sides. I'm against any crazy threats or personal attacks. And like I said earlier, you know, I still appreciate some of the work I've consumed from Brené Brown. I haven't been like a huge Brené Brown follower, and I don't think I've done a lot of her work, but I appreciate the good that she's doing in the world and sometimes the good that she's trying to do. I think her intentions are in the right place. I don't think she should be canceled. I don't think nasty things should be flung her way. And I will say that you already have forceful people on her side of the conversation. I don't think she went to question, I mean, obviously, because it was in her post, but she didn't go question Spotify on her own merit. She questioned Spotify because the people in her community were peer pressuring. The thing is I've had the experience of being somebody who has been cringy and woke in a way, fake woke in a way, I guess. There are some cringy things I've said in the past. I would say it was a mild form of cringe, a mild form of wokeness, because there were still libertarian values underneath it all. But I wanted to do the right thing, right? You know, you get caught up in wokeness because you think you're doing the wrong thing, or you want to do the right thing and you want to learn how to be a better person. And that's all fucking awesome. But then you see the dark side of it. And then you see the abuse that happens and the bullying that happens. My point here is I think it's important for people who are waking up for us to back off and kind of like back on the ropes and be centered. You know, I'm trying to say a bunch of, I'm trying to like mix Buddha with boxing. What the fuck? So like in boxing, it's like you lean on the ropes and you let them swing themselves out. That's what I'm trying to say here is, allow the other side or the one side or whatever the fuck, the woke people shoot themselves in the foot and don't join in on their behavior, because then it just makes humanity as a whole look crazy instead of making the reasonable side where it's like, hey, we're just trying to be for individual rights, against censorship, pro-liberty, pro-medical freedom, things of that nature. That side sounds reasonable, even though it should already sound reasonable. Don't shoot yourself in the foot by being the one of the people that lashes out at her or makes her see you as the bad guy. You know, don't give her more justification that you are the bad guy for being opposed to what she's saying. That's what I'm saying. So, regardless of what happened, she saw the responses, and in this, you know, as much as I guess maybe she's positioning herself to be neutral, or a lot of people are commending her in some of the comment sections how neutral she is, this was pretty telling. The people in her group, the people on her side of the political aisle, were asking questions. They weren't pressuring her at all. They were asking questions. But the people who were upset when she went to Spotify, they were rude and nasty and canceling her and telling her to shut up. My thing is, you're going to find ignorant comments on both sides of the whole thing. And a common tactic that you've seen being used with the situation going on in Canada, and every time you see something pop up, is the actions of a few being defined as the actions of the masses. This is also something that has been spoken about when it comes to civil rights leaders, black people protesting for equality, you know, like a common thing is to look at the worst possible aspects and frame the whole movement as those worst possible aspects. So, you know, we're all aware, like we all should be aware of how the media or how people like to frame things to discredit an entire movement or discredit an individual. So that's what's happening there. That's the psychology of what's happening there. Right there, then and there, it's an attempt to discredit everybody who is fighting against censorship. Almost, I would say almost in a way of like, whoa, you guys are overreacting. Like, this isn't nothing. I was just talking to Spotify. There was no demand for censorship. Like, what? So I saw this coming. I saw it coming from a mile away. I'll take my points. I don't want to be right, but I was. Okay, so she says, let me be clear. One, I'm not interested in canceling or silencing or censoring anyone, including Joe Rogan. This was not, nor has it ever been, framed the public or to Spotify as me or Joe. Hard stop. One thing I want to mention is I'm tired of full stop. I'm tired of hard stop. It's annoying. It's just stop it. I like stop it, I guess. Just stop saying hard stop and full stop. Let's end it. Let's cancel full stop and hard stop. Okay, so I already said my thoughts on that. See what it is? It's like, it was never me. You went to Spotify and had meetings with them. What are you talking about? What? Okay, two. I do not support... Before I go into two. The one aspect where I think would make people look like real assholes for criticizing her is that if she really had like something awful go on in the family and people made assumptions it was about Joe. But it's literally saying two things at once, saying that it like, yeah, I did actually have meetings with Spotify, but also I'm not for censorship. How dare you assume that? It's like, what? Like you, what? But you had meetings with Spotify over misinformation. That doesn't add up. Doesn't add up. Just, it's very weird. It's very weird coming from, you know, teachings that are all about being vulnerable and very honest and direct. Like, this is misdirection after misdirection. This isn't direct. Like, maybe some aspect sounds direct, but then you misdirect people. He's like, yeah, actually, I did go to Spotify, but also I wasn't censoring Joe Rogan. Okay, let me stop getting on that. Two, I do not support censorship. I have a long history of supporting free speech and supporting organizations that protect free speech. My support for the First Amendment has been unwavering, even when what is being said turns my stomach. Some of my hardest moments as a social worker were defending the rights of people who speak their minds, even though I disagreed with every single word coming out of their mouths. Yeah, but part of honoring somebody's freedom of speech is not going behind their back and talking about the misinformation policy. You know, it's like if you then don't stick your nose into situations that had nothing to do with you. Like, that's part of freedom of speech. That's part of individual liberty. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Now, let's see. I did write a comment. I wonder if my comment is appropriate at this time. I'll read my comment later. But here's my thoughts on this in particular. And I'm going to play safe here. Just like I did on the last episode. Because I don't know her personally. And the thing that I despise the most about cancel culture when I was on the receiving end is people basically publicly just spewed out what my intentions are, which were very ill intentions, saying things that I was only pretending to care about certain issues, saying that I was only doing it for the money, saying that I was lying the whole time and I tricked people. No, we actually, we approached something that we disagreed on. So I see what happens in the when it comes to cancel culture and many people get together. Rumors spread like a disgusting game of telephone. And people start saying stuff that, you know, it's like, wait, where did that come from? Like, you don't live my life, dude. What? So I do want to avoid that. I don't, when I say this, this isn't something that I guarantee and I know who Brene Brown is and what is going on and what is a tug of war in her mind. But I will say this about, let's say, people in her demographics. Let's say you're, because I live in Maryland, right? And I see some of the cultural aspects, I guess, and the politics in the DC area. You have a lot of wealth in DC, and you have a lot of people who are Brene Brown's age. I know people have a thing about pointing out an age of a woman, but she's a public figure. So 56 years old. I guess that would make her a boomer. I don't think she would be Gen X. She's a boomer. So you got, okay, boomers. This is not an ageist rant, but I'm just saying the demographics and the gender and the race and the political affiliation. White woman, boomer, good liberal, raised under classical liberal values, is quite closer to the thoughts of, let's say, JFK, the ways of JFK, right? And has wealth. You have wealth, you are... So let's say I'm just directing this at the demographic and not assuming this all on Brene Brown. But it could be. So the demographic, you're raised in an environment that is anti-censorship, that is pro-individual liberty. Growing up in movements where, let's say, sexual liberation, women liberation, it's all about liberation and individual rights. That's what it meant to be a liberal. And then you have being anti-war and pro-peace. You also, what else do I want to say? There's also, it wasn't too long ago, where the liberal position was against Big Pharma, which they seem to be militant to support Big Pharma, against GMOs, you know, GMOs and food. I don't know what the fuck happened to that. And they're also against a wealth disparity. So, which is odd because that position right now is supporting what creates more wealth disparity. It makes more corporations richer while small businesses suffer. It doesn't quite make sense. It doesn't add up, but I digress. That's a whole other conversation. What I'm trying to say here is for somebody that age, that gender, who is trying to adapt to the new position of the left, it's very common to be a tug of war. Like, no, I do. I am against censorship. I'm just trying to be a good person, like, you know, what I was educated about with these new books that I read because I was, you know, I want to be a better person. So I'm reading these books to learn how to be a better person. But ironically, the new ideology that is being introduced into this whole thing is all anti-liberal values. So what I'm saying is, it's not uncommon and it's not weird to see somebody try to balance on the tightrope of supporting censorship, but also, I'm not supporting censorship, like being in denial that the position that she supports is actually pro-censorship, is actually very authoritarian. And if we go deeper into this, And I kind of want to get back to the post, but if we go deeper into this, perhaps the liberal, the big-hearted liberal, the soft-hearted liberal, what is the phrase? Bleeding heart liberal. There we go. The bleeding heart liberal. If we were to go deeper into this, a bleeding heart liberal, it's an amazing thing to have deep compassion for others and be heart-centered in your word, for sure. And these are kind of discussions that Rebecca and I have versus like the heart and the brain of the conversation, facts over feelings, feelings over facts. The bleeding heart liberal is perfect soil for authoritarianism. Because if you lead in with, if you really cared about me, if you really cared for humanity, you would be willing to give up these rights. And it twists their hearts and it becomes a pro-censorship type of stance. So I just wanted to describe that. It's kind of what I see here. I don't want to apply that directly to Brené Brown, but that demographic, I see it. It's very common. And I'm just saying it could be a possibility that plays into this. So that's what I feel. I feel there's a tug of war. That's what I feel with conversations I have with people. It's almost like when they say censorship is only when it comes from the government. It's like this form of denial that the side that they've been supporting could ever be pro-censorship, because just like what I mentioned in the first episode of this series or whatever this fucking thing is, I hope I'm not making like a 10 episode series on this. Like I said, the classical liberal values are individual liberty. You know, it is pro-medical freedom. It is honoring individual rights. It is honoring the Constitution. And they're adopting a new mindset that is actually the exact opposite of that. And some people are still trying to play that in balance, because on one end, if you go against the new thoughts that have been adopted in the left, then you're a bigot, you're a racist, you're a sexist, you're a misogynist, and you're a horrible person. However, if you go full on with what the left wants, then it kind of tugs at the liberal values that you've grown up with, where it's like, no, wait, I am freedom of expression. I am not turning into the person that I most despise. So it's like this real tug of war. And that's why I state, like, hey, stay in your heart, be loving, be accepting, and be welcoming for when people realize this. I don't know if somebody like Brené Brown is going to change her tune, but at least keep that door open for people to realize that they've been played, they've been hustled, and that they've been controlled. I truly do feel like people are being used as quote-unquote useful idiots in this matter. And that's not saying that they are actually idiots in the sense of not being smart. I think academically, you know, a lot of people who disagree with me are academically smart and probably got better grades. And that's what gives them the aspect of superiority over my opinion. I'm just a jackass who looks up shit on YouTube, right? But with that arrogance comes a lack of knowing. Like when the powers that be have always welcomed you with open arms, you never think to question it. So there's huge blind spots there. And I think humility can go a very long way. I know seeing this type of stuff can make you frustrated and fired up. It makes me frustrated and fired up too. And sometimes it's right to put that fire out there. Sometimes it's right to, you know, let that anger out. But remember, these are our fellow human beings, and the best strategy is to be the part of the aspect of humanity that is forgiving, not forceful, not controlling, and not hurtful, you know, things of that nature. So anyway, let's see where this is a long, we're almost through this post. Okay, it's three. As a creator, I don't know if I read this one yet. As a creator on Spotify, my ask has been very straightforward since the beginning. I like Spotify to have a transparent misinformation policy made available, soft censorship, that's censorship, made available to the public. That balances addressing the complex information issues we face today while respecting free speech and to be meaningful. This policy must be applied across all the platform without exception. How is it respecting free speech if you're telling people what is appropriate to think and speak about? And adding on to this is we already have those censorship warnings on Facebook and Instagram. And it's more than that. It's more than that. Because if you get a censorship warning, you get shadow banned, or you're not able to do a live stream on Instagram anymore. That's not free speech. And for the people who say, like, well, it's the free market. No, like I said, Jen Psaki was calling for Spotify to do this, to stop the spread of misinformation. And Hillary Clinton as well, she was very adamant in stopping misinformation on Facebook. And she has connections with the fact checkers, your friendly fact checkers, that tell you what it's right to think. This is soft censorship, and this is hoping that this will influence you to censor yourselves. It's passive aggressive, but even though it's passive aggressive, it doesn't mean that it doesn't count as censorship and I'm still supporting freedom of speech. No, this is a stance against freedom of speech. Let's be perfectly clear there. Number four, personally, I would never want to silence debate about vaccine safety and efficiency because... efficacy? Sorry. Because the lack of critical discussion usually actually increases vaccine hesitancy. However, rigorous debate that benefits the public does not include the decimation of misinformation. So on one hand, I can see if you're on the side who thinks vaccines are perfect and it's a way to save people, then I can understand where you would go to those dire straits. However, this is a brand new experiment. There are qualified doctors speaking out, and it's important to have these discussions because on the other hand, a lot of people went forward and made that life-changing decision based on the pressure of losing their job, not being able to go to a restaurant or in some cases, a grocery store. In fucking Canada, they have people that follow you in grocery stores to make sure that you're only buying essential items and not buying stuff that would bring that aren't essential if you're unvaccinated. So then that becomes the point is you're not trying to keep people safe. You're trying to control their actions. So here's the thing. It's like, how is that more of your right? You know, how is that more of your conversation more than somebody else? You're not a doctor. Dr. Malone is a doctor. So how does that make you more qualified to tell him what he's allowed to talk about? How is this in your lane? And that goes into my first episode of 2022. I think it was two episodes ago. Is where I say I agree with people that say we shouldn't fight over this thing and it should be your private business. I agree. But when you do stuff like this, how am I supposed to keep that my private business? You're trying to back me into a corner. You're trying to back humanity in a corner to make a decision of what you deem as fact. So yes, we're not trying to censor, but my opinion is more important. And I'm doing this not because my opinion is more important. I'm doing it to save lives, even though there are people dying and getting injured over that decision, and we sweep it under the rug for profits. So, yeah, you know, like, what? I don't know how people read this and then came with the conclusion that this is a neutral stance. Five. Both censorship and misinformation are threats to public health and democracy. Censorship and misinformation are... Okay. Rather than falling prey to believing that we have to tolerate one to protect against the other, our collective well-being is best served when we approach debates and discourse with curiosity, critical thinking, and a healthy skepticism of false dichotomies. Yeah, like, okay, I get it, but where's the conversation? Where are we having the conversation? I didn't see you invite Joe Rogan onto your podcast. I didn't see you ask to be invited to Joe Rogan's podcast. Instead, you went behind his back to get him labeled with misinformation. If you want to step into the ring, why aren't you having these conversations and discussions? Why are you asking for authority? Spotify still being an authority as a network or a publishing service. Why are you asking them to step in and label things as misinformation instead of having a discussion? Like, it's just contradicting to what you said. Let's have a discussion. You know what makes a great democracy? By the way, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. But you know what creates a free society, a great free society, is when you can exchange ideas and conversation doesn't become off limits and completely snapped at as misinformation. Because the truth is we're not opening up discussion. We're not willing to have that. We're like, no, shut up and listen to the science. You're telling me that she's not on that side? Come on now. Come on. Don't blow smoke up my ass. I thought we're supposed to be leaning forward and being vulnerable and all that stuff. So I just got to say no. No. Have a conversation then. Make your point valid. Have a solid point to bring to the discussion. The thing I will praise Joe Rogan about is that he allows his guest to talk, and he's very good at holding space for conversation. And he's also good about asking uncomfortable questions, asking his guests to explain things further, and really disagreeing with his guests at times. Like, whoa, no, that's not right. Or, Jamie, pull that up. Let's confirm that. Now, I know that Joe Rogan is not like a scientist or a doctor, but he's open to the discussion and conversation. So when you say, approach debates and discourse with curiosity, critical thinking, and healthy skepticism of false dichotomies, that's what Joe Rogan's been doing for years now. That's what his show's been about. That's why he has 11 million viewers per episode. When CNN, when corporate media keeps falling, CNN has like less a million viewership. I'm not sure if that's per week or per episode. I don't have a Jamie. I'm not going to look it up. But the point is Joe Rogan is crushing while corporate media is suffering. It's like, that's what people want. That's what people want. They don't want you sneaking behind Joe Rogan's back and asking for misinformation tags. They would probably love you to go on his podcast and speak your piece, and he'll question you too. He'll challenge you in the discussion, right? And rightfully so. And then we can have this discussion. That's the whole thing. We, in these past 2 years, we faced something unique that a lot of us, we haven't experienced. This is something very new and unique, and doctors are still figuring it out. But you shut off the entire side of one part of the conversation. You shut off the conversation when people mention ways that they've healed from the virus that doesn't involve the Fauci juice. But that conversation gets shut off because that's not where the money is flowing. That would be bad for business. So yes, I agree with that statement that let's have open conversations and discussion. That makes an amazing free society. But when you're telling people what wrong think is and what is not right to think, and you're silencing every single doctor that goes against the narrative, even though they have the knowledge and qualifications to speak out about it. In fact, sometimes even more qualifications when they're very, very aware of the mRNA technology, like Robert Malone. Well, then that becomes a problem, and you're not opening it to discussion. And I think we need to be stern and clear about that. You've heard me say not to jump to conclusions and reactions and say some horrible shit to people, but I do stand with being stern in your values and not giving this type of shit an inch, because I know where this leads. We all know where this leads, where it, first it's the misinformation tags, and then it's like, since it's misinformation, why do we have this dangerous content on here? So it leads down a bad, you know, a bad place. And this is not a stance for individual liberty, freedom of expression, or, you know, being against censorship. Like, don't pretend it is. That's all I'm saying. So let me finish off this post. I've enjoyed the creative collaboration with Spotify, and I appreciate how the leadership has shown up in our meetings over the past week. Now that Spotify has published its misinformation policy, and the policy itself appears to address a majority of my concerns, I'm in the process of learning how the policy will be applied. I'm hopeful the podcast will be back next week. No matter what I say or what I do, some of you will be frustrated, disappointed, or pissed off. That's okay. I will never stop sharing my opinions and beliefs to make anyone feel better or more comfortable or to gain your approval. Not now, not ever. For those of you who express concern about censorship / misinformation issues, ask for more information and engage in real dialogue. Thanks, I appreciate the conversation. Yeah, so I don't agree with it. I agree with the aspect of being open to conversation, but I feel like it's not being applied. And I feel like it pretty much indirectly proved people's point of being upset while also invalidating their reason for being upset to make them look like irrational people that jumped the gun, even though this whole post spelled out that they jumped the gun. You know, they were correcting their information. It's sort of weird. It's like both saying that, hey, I don't support censorship. I would never go against Joe Rogan too. But I also had conversations with Spotify. What were those Spotify conversations about? Could it be about Joe Rogan? Like, it's just fucking wild to me. She okey-doked some people. Props to her. If she was able to okey-doke a few of, you know, a lot of her people that are praising her for her thoughtful response and being neutral and stuff like that, good on her. Great communicator. But I ain't buying it. I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. But I respect some of your work. I want to be respectful, but I ain't buying it. I'm not buying the shit you selling. Get out of here. So I left a comment that I thought was meaningful. I probably kind of explained it now, but why not say it again? I said, so she went to Spotify and concerns of misinformation right around the time people were in protest of Joe Rogan. I'm sorry, but calling to tag things as misinformation does lead to censorship, and it's soft censorship, seeing what boundaries they can violate without pissing people off. Controlling what is misinformation is censorship. Aligning with the practices on social media where people get shadow banned for quote-unquote wrongthink is 100% censorship. You either have free speech or you don't. You don't police free speech so people think how you want them to think. Please don't let censorship have an inch, because they will certainly take a mile. This same conversation goes when it comes to hate speech and things of that nature. One thing that people bring up is like, well, what if they have bigoted views? Still, when you start censoring people, even if they have really horrible views, you're violating your own freedom of speech, because it's only a matter of time where that impacts you. It's already on social media. I know Mark Zuckerberg is not President Joe Biden, but it's still censoring what I say, and it's still the aspect of censoring, trying to censor hate speech and then penalizing me for it. For instance, especially at the start of, especially in 2020, at the start of the pandemic, there were censor bots doing the censoring. And I still avoid it to this day because I don't want to keep getting flagged and lose my account. But for instance, I joked with a friend once. Every time I got flagged on social media was from something that was, it wasn't even me saying some crazy shit. It wasn't even me talking bad about the Fauci juice. It was none of that. When I got in trouble on social media, it was shit like this. And this is one example. A friend of mine from Canada said something on my post, and all I said was, "Damn Canadians, dot, 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 dot." Yes, in some contexts, that would be hate speech. But it wasn't. I was joking with a friend. I'm very fond of Canadians right now. I'm actually a little jealous that they're like the leading movement of freedom. Like, shit, if they're going to take the history books and they're going to be the nation of freedom with big balls and shit. Big balls. But anyway, I said, "Damn Canadians," and immediately I get flagged. This is what they do. They're like, "You said something that often gets flagged as hate speech. Do you want to delete this?" And I know how that goes. I'm like, "Yeah, I'll delete it right away. No, I don't want to get in trouble." And even though I delete it within seconds, boom, Facebook jail for a week. So what I'm saying is, I know that's kind of like an example in social media. It's like when you censoring hate speech or misinformation can be a justifiable thing to describe. But there's going to be a lot of people in the crossfires that didn't mean to say any misinformation, didn't mean to harm people, and weren't actually harming people, and doesn't actually hate people from Canada or whatever, that are going to be penalized for it. And also it gives government a justification to penalize innocent people. So that's where it's a slippery slope. That's why the First Amendment is so important. And I don't think Brené Brown's going to listen to this podcast, but never say never. But my words to Brené Brown is to remember the values that you claim that you stand for. And really be in reflection and see how these new values they're adopting, how they clash. And just have a deeper understanding. Because to me, this is all speculation, but to me, I just feel like there was pressure. There is a lot of pressure. I've seen the pressure on even smaller levels of influencers where people are demanded to speak out about things the mob demands by peers. Like, "Hey, you're not going to really stay on Spotify if they're going to spread misinformation, are you? Like, what do you think about the Joe Rogan stuff? Well, you know, what do you think about it?" All in a free society, again, I will say, in a free society, you would tell other people, like, "That has nothing to do with me. I'm releasing this podcast episode Thursday," or whatever the fuck day I release podcast. "That has nothing to do with me. I'm not answering that question. And if I feel called to speak about that, I will." That's how a free person responds. A person who is being controlled, manipulated, and peer pressured responds in a way of, "I need to pause and I need to go behind Joe Rogan's back and ask them what their policies are on what information they allow on their podcast." I get the fear of misinformation. I understand the fear that is being pumped about misinformation. But I sort of don't give a shit. And the reason why I don't give a shit is because a fuck ton of misinformation has been coming from the corporate media. People have been banned and silenced and lied to over these past 2 years, only for 6 months later for the content that they got banned for being okay to talk about. So essentially, people are getting flagged for misinformation for being able to see what's going to happen in the future. For being able to see something before corporate media saw it. And are people being lifted out of censorship jail on social media for being right? For unfortunately being right at the wrong time? I can't say they are. I really can't. I've never seen any type of customer support from social media. I have not seen it yet where social media admits, hey, we were wrong for banning this person. No, they just wipe their hands and pretend it never happened. They pretend like, oh no, we never had that stance. Yeah, you know, we never had that stance. One particular thing is the lab leak of the virus. Like anybody who talked about the lab leak was getting canceled and censored and things of that nature. Now it's a topic of discussion of like, oh, maybe it did come from the lab. No fucking kidding. It didn't come from a random bat. Anyway, let's move on from the Brené Brown. There's like a couple topics that I want to talk about before leaving, or aspects about the censorship. So you had Joe Rogan's response, and you can find that video on his Instagram. I will not play the entirety of the video on the podcast just to save time. But essentially, he was fair. He was forgiving. He was willing to work with Spotify. And he did have a moment in the beginning of the video where he was critical about CNN and corporate media, which I appreciate. And he said he's going to try to do better. I'm not a complete fan of this response. I can understand what he may have been thinking when making this response. And I can understand the mindset. Because like, I believe that everybody or most people listening to this podcast, Joe Rogan himself, me as well, we all try to work with people. And we all try to not get in too far into tribalism that, you know, we're dishonoring somebody else's voice, right? We all try to be fair. The issue that comes with this is when you're playing by these rules against people who don't believe in those same rules. And that's where it becomes an issue. Because the people who are railing against Joe Rogan have lost touch with their values of individual liberty and being against censorship. And yes, they find ways to justify that by saying things like, well, it's not from the government, so it's not censorship. This is a free market, blah, blah, blah. And I discussed that earlier in this episode, in the first episode of the censorship aspect of this podcast. It's never going to be enough. The misinformation tags are not going to be enough. The misinformation tags are basically saying this is, you know, nothing in this is real and this is the wrong way to think. And it's just going to progress. Joe Rogan said he's trying to do better by having people with different opinions on. But the thing is he's always been doing that. But he's been criticized of not doing that. But the thing is, he had the dude from CNN on there even. And he's always been a person who wanted to invite people from different who have different opinions. I think his name was Sanjay Gupta from CNN. And he challenged Gupta in ways. And you know what? I listened to that episode and I'm like, okay, I hear the other side of what he's saying. And I think that's great to have that discussion. My point is Rogan was already doing that. But he was accused and smeared of being purely conservative. And the smearing is so deep that sometimes, like, sometimes I think, like, am I fully, you know, I guess I'm fully on the conservative side. But 10 years ago, I had the same values, in a sense, maybe evolved values. I definitely have grown since 10 years. But 10 years ago, I wasn't considered a conservative. I was a libertarian. I was, you know, I always said I was socially liberal. I can't say that. I can say that I'm socially liberal if you use the actual definition of liberal. But it's hard to say that now because am I socially liberal? No, I don't support or socially leftist, for to be more accurate. I don't support banning people from restaurants because they didn't get the Fauci juice. I'm not in support of making kids wear masks in schools. I'm not in support of that nonsense. I'm not in support of censoring podcasts. I'm not in support of having fact checkers fact check everything online. Fuck no. So yeah, back in the day, I could be like, yo, yeah, I'm moderate in some cases. I'm socially liberal. I do have conservative values on, you know, maybe economically. But now it's like either you're borderline communist or you're a conservative, right? So it's like we also get kind of caught up in that way of thinking when a lot of us actually do have our, you know what goes on? I see a lot of people on the left who actually have very conservative family values, but they won't acknowledge that any aspect of them is conservative. Then you got people who are moderate that have plenty of liberal values, but they get framed as a conservative because they're not down with whatever the fuck has been going on these past 2 years. Or, you know, like any of the cancel culture and the censorship and the bullying and all that stuff. So what I'm saying is somebody like me will try to play the middle ground, but the environment doesn't call for it. They are out for blood. They want Joe Rogan silenced completely, and having the misinformation tags is one step to move forward with that. My thing is, I think the ultimate answer is Joe Rogan should say, fuck you, and do his own network, and saying like, look, I'm not like, I would not move an inch, but I understand where he's trying to come from. Even in the sense, like, even though I disagree with Brené Moore, I can understand where she's trying to come from and the possible pressure that she's dealing with. And no matter what level of success you're on, you're still a human. I think a lot of people like to jump to the conclusion of saying somebody is evil or somebody has extreme ill intent without understanding the human experience that they're going through. So I do have an understanding for both of their attempted neutral stances, but I don't think it's going to work. We're not going to be in unity. I mean, maybe I'll be proved wrong in a week and Brené Brown will be on the Joe Rogan podcast and they'd be having a good time. I think that is possible, but I just don't think we'll be singing Kumbaya. And, you know, it's really tough to create unity when people see you as less than human and when people see you as, you know, for instance, the pandemic of the unvaccinated. And when people want to come for your throat, you know, it's you can't create unity for somebody who is, you know, trying to break in your house and take order of your family. Like, I'd love to create a unity with as many people as possible. But if someone has a fucking crowbar and they're like trying to get into the windows of my house, I can't go out there and bake cookies for them and say, hey, we're all friends, right? You know, I respect your individual rights. No, at that point, you violated my rights by trying to get into my house. So that's the point I want to make there. I agree when people say they want to be neutral. I agree when people say, hey, it's medical privacy. You know, we shouldn't even be talking about this. Yeah, but we're past that point. Because laws are being made to violate rights, you know? So, you know, there has to be some sort of fight. There has to be some sort of stance. And that's not me saying that I'm going to be bashing you over the head if you don't agree with what I agree with, but I got to stand strong in what I stand for. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about to close things off is the Whoopi Goldberg situation. I don't know if you're aware of that, but it kind of goes in with the whole censorship conversation. Whoopi Goldberg on The View said some things that I find ignorant. And she said, I would suggest going over the clip. I'm not going to play the clip here. But she basically said that the Holocaust wasn't about race. And then that created a stir. And on some level, I can see where she was coming from. I do think it was an ignorant statement, and I think it was an ignorant point to make, and I think that it was a form of wokeism imploding on itself, because in that instance, it's basically trying to take Robin DiAngelo, or what's his name, Kendiism, and apply it to the Holocaust. And that just proves where the woke ideology goes wrong and intersectionalism falls flat and becomes this weird game of the oppression Olympics. But basically, I think the worst thing that she said in that statement was saying it was two groups of white people fighting. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it's like almost framing the Holocaust as if it was people in a war rather than a whole nation of people or a whole religion and race of people being oppressed and murdered. It was an insane thing to say. And she was suspended from The View for 2 weeks. And the reason why I want to say this is because this is an aspect where the cancel culture comes after somebody who is more pro cancel culture. And I wanted to say my thoughts that I thought what she said was ignorant. And I do find amusement when the woke ideology and cancel culture implodes on itself. I do find it funny and ironic when somebody who recently was calling for censorship of Joe Rogan ends up having that boomerang come back at her. I do find that a bit amusing, and I do find the comments ignorant. Another aspect is I also hold the values of, like, we all learn, we all mess up, we all say some shit. And to be quite honest, if I had the power right now to make sure Whoopi Goldberg was never on The View ever again, or if I had more of a desirable power where I could cancel The View altogether, I wouldn't. Because part of freedom of speech and being against censorship is fighting for the rights for other people to speak, even if you disagree with them. And I would, you know, if I was on the same network, I wouldn't go behind the backs and try to get Whoopi Goldberg canceled. I want to try to pressure producers to do so. And that's where it becomes where boycotting goes into cancel culture. That's where you cross the line. When you go behind the backs and try to pressure sponsorships, employers, and you know, you in some cases involve yourself with the online bullying and doxing others, that's where it becomes cancel culture and it's no longer boycotting. So I joke about it. I've joked about abolishing The View and that The View was complicit and so was Lifetime and we should get rid of it altogether. That is just my joke in how I do not like those networks and I don't enjoy it and all that stuff, my personal preferences. But truthfully, you know, I don't think that should cause, you know, Whoopi Goldberg to get canceled, right? Now, if the actual producers of the show in-house and they really feel by their values that Whoopi is not aligned to their values and they're not folding from outside pressure, then that they have every right to say, hey, you know, this is in our SOP of our business or our network. You know, just the same as like, you know, running a business. If somebody's working with me or collaborating with me says something that like, hey, this is not aligned to my values and this isn't something I want to collaborate on, then of course I have every right to say, hey, you know, we're going to have to part ways. Cool. But when it comes to outside pressure, you know, I think we need to verge away from that. You know, it's not my place to say what the view is allowed to say. Like, it's based on their own SOP and what they want to stand for. You know, I'm not going to get online seriously calling for Whoopi Goldberg's career to end, even though I feel that her comments were very ignorant. It doesn't keep me awake at night. I know that's, it impacts people differently. I was born Catholic. And Rebecca was born Jewish. So like those type of topics do impact her more than it would me. But I also, you know, I guess from my stance, I think like society gets to be forgiving. I think the comments were ignorant. I'm not going to lose sleep over it, but I think it's good to be the better, you know, be the better person in not gunning for someone's throat and immediately assuming bad intentions. Because I don't think she was truly ill intent. I don't think she truthfully hates Jewish people. I just think she said something stupid. And, you know, the other side of the political spectrum gets accused for saying stupid things around that same topic. It seems like a whole thing of, you know, it's a sensitive thing of those, of creating those comparisons. And we often jump the gun to call somebody a label when really that doesn't reflect who they are. Like, I think we need nuance. I think we need to understand. And perhaps she was trying to make a point, but, you know, we don't need to force and police somebody exactly what they must think. We can have open dialogue and conversation and have understanding and listening, which was talked about, kind of going back to that. But yeah, no one should be fully censored. I'm going to openly disagree with people. I openly disagree with almost everything I've ever seen from a clip of The View. I don't watch the whole show. I don't think they should get canceled, but, and to me, I could make a justification that I view their information as dangerous. I view the corporate media's information as dangerous, but every piece of information should have the freedom to be exposed to the public, and then the public decides what they want to listen to and what they don't want to listen to, and the public gets to see what the truth is. There's an aspect of this collectivism, and I guess you can see some, what are the fucking things called in Star Trek? It's just like Star, I'm not a big Star Trek fan, I was a Star Wars fan, but like collectivism, and people make fun of like the whole NPC thing, but there's a lot of truth to it. Collectivism wants everybody to be controlled like bots, and you just listen to the information that we say is okay, so you mold the society that we want. Rather than treating everybody like unique humans, not only promoting diversity of skin color, but also promoting diversity of thought and trusting people. Trusting people to push society into the right direction. Trusting people instead of trying to control and manipulate them. Because humanity, we are born connected to our hearts. If we operate in love and not silencing and not controlling the narrative and not trying to control everybody's aspects of life, there's a huge benefit to what that creates for society. And we've been reaping that benefit in the United States of America. Yes, there's benefits to what I hear with society in China. The benefit is you don't have a lot of political discourse. The disadvantage is that if you buy the wrong fucking thing at the grocery store, your social credit goes down, and that impacts your ability to buy a house or get a job and things of that nature, or ride the fucking train. So it's like, you know, do you want a society that is in complete conformity of everybody thinking the right thing and there's not as much discourse and things run maybe more smoothly? But if you step off that track, then you get penalized for buying the wrong thing at a grocery store. Maybe you bought too much liquor or too much soda. So now your social credit score is lower because of, you know, your personal decisions. Or do you want to live in a society that where there is freedom of speech, there is a little bit of turmoil, and there is discourse and a bit of infighting and things of that nature? But through that comes better ideas. Better ideas because we're able to discuss them and talk them out. Quite honestly, if we both, you know, if all of us agreed during this whole pandemic, if you want to call it that, if all of us decided to be open to conversation, into finding answers, and people on all sides decide to have these talks on podcast, and we allowed information to flow, and we didn't say one medicine is bad when one medicine is good, and we went seeking for answers, I would definitely say I fully, wholeheartedly believe we would find more solutions than the turmoil of misinformation. If people knew how to treat the Rona and to use a nebulizer or to use medicine like ivermectin and things of that nature, if people knew that and people knew how to treat it, if people knew to get the antibodies, if people knew, if front and center we were focused on health instead of focused on treatment, and we were like, hey, this is the right vitamins you need to take. Instead of locking you up, make sure you get in the sunlight. Like, try to keep distance from people, but get in the sunlight so you get vitamin D. Like, if that was the narrative, and it was like, let's have open conversations about this. This doctor, say, you know, what do you think? This doctor, what do you think? Debate it. You know, challenge us. You know, we're in this new situation right now. And you allowed them both to speak freely, and we actually did unite, then we would be a lot further along than we are now. I mean, for fuck's sake, one of the media outlets, I want to say CNN, but they posted an article not too long ago where it's like, new study found that vitamin D can help you against the Rona or can help your immune system. I'm like, really? You're just getting that now? New study? Like, groundbreaking shit? Like, we should have been talking about this on day one. I got the information on day one from what people would call one of the misinformation spreaders. Let's get serious now. Because, you know, some of the stuff on Rogan's podcast, I guarantee it's not 100% right. But I will say having that freedom of information has likely saved a lot more lives than it gets credit for, or save people from long-term effects, or has improved people's lifestyles. You know what Rogan also does? He helps people improve their physical health. He also promotes people who are helping people with their own psychology and their own personal development and their physical fitness and their mental health and emotional health. Rogan has done a ton more good than bad. And it's just like the meme. It's like you let him do a show having people eat goat dicks for money, and that wasn't harmful misinformation. But suddenly you invite a doctor on the show with a different opinion than the narrative, and suddenly that is misinformation. So closing this podcast off, you know, people with this misinformation narrative, I'm not buying the bullshit that you're selling. I don't think your approach of tagging things as misinformation is helping the greater good. And in fact, I think you would be disgusted if you actually saw the truth of how many lives the ideology and the narrative that you've been obeying for years have caused. The mental health issues, the emotional health issues, the deaths that it's caused, because you're willing to silence people and censor people, even experts that are coming up with alternatives that truly help people. And then when people talk about things that could help, instead of actually trying to understand the information, you spread dumb shit like, oh, the president told people to drink bleach. Same thing goes for Trump himself. Like, you know, criticism on him for not communicating things better or not uniting people when he could have. Like, the criticism goes on both sides, but it's like, instead we chase narratives and this outrage, and we don't try to understand. Instead, you want to make fun of fucking horse paste instead of actually seeing that medicine like ivermectin was actually an award-winning medicine for fucking humans. So it's just like, don't give me the whole thing that you're fighting misinformation. If you want to fight misinformation, actually look outside of your box and see and look at different pieces of information that challenges your current beliefs and your current allegiance to the mainstream narrative. And then I'll believe you when you're saying you're fighting misinformation. But until then, I'm not buying the bullshit you're selling. It seems like some people are buying the bullshit and are not seeing through this, but I see through it, and I'm going to put people on game and give them the knowledge that they need, or, you know, I'm going to be there for the people who see through it. Anyway, thank you for listening. It's been an honor having you on this podcast. If you're a new listener, thank you so much. We have had an influx of new listeners on this podcast, and I'm appreciative of it. If you want to show your support, if you're up on iTunes, give me a 5-star review. No 4 stars or 3 stars will be tolerated, or 1 star. But if you liked it, if you're at this point, give me a 5-star review. Write a nice review is even better. And also share the podcast to people that you know, whether it's on your social media or telling a friend about it. This is all free, and I appreciate every single listener. Thank you. This is Brandon Marshall Havener signing out. And until next time, have an amazing week.